Disclaimer, all music streamed on this podcast is protected by Section 108 of the U.S. Copyright Act, which states that copyrighted work reproduced for purposes of criticism and comment are not an infringement of copyright. But with that being said, let's set sail on the virtual ocean. Let me welcome you to the show.
Shelf.
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 We'll be right back. If music didn't exist, the sand wouldn't be warm. The words of desert sand feels warm at night. The legendary sludge wave English vaporwave artist. Welcome to episode 60 of The Virtual Ocean. Today, we are listening to Tokunatsu. Also translates to Everlasting Summer, an album by Desert Sand Feels Warm at Night. We'll call them Desert Sand for short. And that first track was titled Farewell Spring, Saraba Haru. I think I'm getting a little better at my pronunciation, getting a little more confident. So please congratulate me on that. Anyway, wow, very beautiful world setting track with that one, right? We have 8 minutes of just this soundscape that feels so like nature-like, naturalistic, and just nostalgic at the same time. This album, worth mentioning, is the third sample-free slush wave. And so what we can assume from that is that every single thing that is on this album was made originally, right? So I would assume every single vocal part is actually sung by Desert Sand. Every single instrumental is not a sample, but actually built in software, which is impressive, right? That's a whole new level of commitment to making this kind of sound, given that Vaporwave has this reputation for being bare minimum sometimes, right? And what we like to do on the show is show that it doesn't really matter what an artist does in terms of their effort into the genre, because what Vaporwave is and what it represents is far more important, right? But when an artist does something like this that is full of effort and creative energy, we just have to give it a listen. And we are excited to finally listen to it. Brandon, your thoughts on the opener for this album?
Yeah, it was a really nice opening track. I really liked how visually it does kind of match this almost like very desert-like feeling of like kind of like you're in the city in a very landlocked state or something like that. And you're really, all you can see is mountain and brown and kind of just desert area. No real clouds are kind of in sight. And even though, you know, we understand that as a very uncomfortable place to be, even at night when things are supposed to be chilly, you can still find warmth. And I definitely got that vibe, obviously, with a lot of the jazz instrumentals. And, you know, now hearing that it's an original composition is actually pretty impressive, considering that jazz is, I would say, a little bit more difficult thing to pull off, especially in original material. So very impressive. And I can't wait to hear more.
Absolutely. A quick shout out to Sarah P at Green Tea Cats on Instagram for really recommending us to finally dive into the world of Desert Sand. And we're really excited to do so. So let's go with this next track titled Sunny Day. And it's pronounced like
晴天.
Here we go. Thank you.
and that track was titled Sunny Day. Quite the contradiction, although it does fit the same sonic palette with a lot of the very slowed down vocals and very drowned out instrumentals of just lush reverbs and very warm soundscapes, very much like a sunny day. I feel like what's interesting about vaporwave and I think music in general, especially in a commercial sense, right? So things you would hear on the radio, we tend to be quite drawn to the voice, right? And so when we hear a voice in a song like this, I think it kind of adds a level of interest, even though it's not necessarily an intelligible voice. Anytime I do hear a voice in any track, regardless of the genre, anytime I do hear something that remotely sounds like a vocal, even if it's like a Vocaloid, and I've been playing with a lot of those lately, it's immediately something that captures my interest. And I think the fact that it's all original, you get the sense of like a very organic introduction to it, in the sense that it feels very much like it belongs to this song and it was written to this song, because that's the hard thing about sampling. And so far I'm like really enjoying just the general vibe of like this original piece that we're hearing. And it just feels like everything was very intentional. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the thing with sampling. You can pull a sample and you can make a song around that, or you can completely start from scratch and then really build this lush soundscape that people really enjoy.
Yeah, and you can tell a difference, although you can argue that you can argue the subtlety of it, but you really can tell the difference that every single part of it is so deliberate and so intentional. And what I want to draw attention to is the length, and that these tracks sit at least 4 minutes long per track on the album. Our upcoming track is actually 14 minutes long, but the idea of not being afraid to go long with these tracks is always so interesting to me, because that decision means that you want to build a time investment into this world you are creating, right? And when you're doing that, it's almost like there's this halfway invitation where it's like, hey, I have an experience for you. It's up to you to accept it or not. And if you're willing to take on that invitation, you have an expectation that the experience you're going to have is going to be something worthwhile and something that is going to be unlike a shorter experience, right? And what I'm trying to get at is like these tracks are a lot more in their own way cinematic for that reason, right? They paint pictures, and if you were to go to a museum, these tracks would be the equivalent of the one that takes up the entire wall, right? It's when you walk in and you have like just this giant piece, like almost like the one right in the center, is that each one of these tracks has its own part of the wall in the museum. It's not just all of them together. They seem to be very deliberately placed to take up that whole side of the wall. And so I'm really interested to see where it goes. So far, the aesthetic of it is very soothing, right? I mean, only a few seconds into these tracks, you'll get this feeling of relaxation and this distance away from what, you know, you would hear from normal, mainstream music. And it only gets deeper into the idea of vaporwave representing the subconscious, right? It's very, you see a lot of words like ethereal or dreamlike, and that's just no coincidence, right? If you were to sonically dive into the part of your mind that you don't really have access to in your waking life, I feel like this kind of music is that world right in between. And if you were to get an audio version of that world, that's what this music would be. And it would be as long as it is, because time is, it works differently in that world. So a little something to think about as we go to our third track, titled Poolside Dreams.
Thank you.
And that is Poolside Dreams, reminding me of a long walk along the desert. 14-minute track with many different parts. To me, personally, I felt like there was a bit of a story and narrative there. Not a very, you know, story in a traditional sense, but an emotional journey that it takes you through. And I think that first intro sets up that long walk, right? It's almost like a, it's setting up the scene. And I feel like every single one of these tracks feels like its own kind of world, right? And with this one, there's that transition when the beats finally come in that felt like a bit of a heroic call to action. And when, like Brandon said in the last track, with the melody of the person singing, it draws you into this feeling, right? And a lot of us, quite frankly, don't really understand what's being sung, and it doesn't really matter what is being sung, right? It's the emotion behind what the melody sounds like. And to me, it sounded and felt like the telling of retelling of someone's life, warnings of dreams that were lost. And there's this interlude in the middle where it kind of sounds like the intro again, that felt like a bit of a rumination on what we just learned. And then we go back into hearing this melody. And at some point, to me, a lot of it started sounding, and not in a negative way, it started sounding like one thing. And what I mean by that is that it did feel like a dream. Because in dreams, you can't particularly pinpoint when certain things happen. You have these fragments of events, but they ultimately don't feel like they are sequential or together and strung along in a sequential way. And that's how I felt with this track. And towards the end, you know, there were variations on earlier parts, and it's just so free-flowing that you just feel like the music is, in your body, you know? It's very soothing, it's very relaxing, and it presents us with this, I like how it presents us with this way to kind of bring to consciousness the subconscious aesthetic that, at least the way I would perceive it. Brandon, your thoughts on Poolside Dreams?
Yeah, I didn't have much to extrapolate beyond that. With a track like this, there's a lot you can extrapolate in terms of emotions. And I feel like for in this case, it's very much like case-by-case basis. Like, I receive this very much as, I'm getting the story. And I think you mentioned this a second ago. I'm getting the story in different chunks and at different parts. So, obviously we did have our intro, so kind of like the introduction to this new narrative, or possibly the densest part of the narrative that the artist is trying to tell in this record. And then when the beat comes in, when the drum beats come in, all of a sudden we're changing into this very almost upbeat kind of melody. But then what I kind of gathered a lot from it is, and this could be, I guess, by key choice and arrangement choice, but there's a bit of like a heaviness to it.
Yeah.
As we tend to do with our subconscious, when we get lost in thought, sometimes our brains tend to go in a very, not necessarily extremely negative or sad ways, but it can be something that is a bit more existential.
Yeah.
Right. Where you can think, ponder your existence a little bit more. And the fact that this is kind of like, Poolside Dreams, right? The fact that this is kind of referencing dream state, that, it's interesting to kind of experience it in song form and audio form, because, even though, you know, Jarrell and I may think something differently, and you guys, the listeners, might feel something differently, I feel we can all relate to the idea of getting lost in thought and kind of the millions of different situations we run ourselves through. And I think a song like this allows us to really reflect on kind of how we feel in our own lives. And I think the artist did a great job, you know, by one, making this a 14-minute track. You know, that this is definitely something you're going to like sit, like if you're not doing anything, you're gonna like at least like lay down and just kind of like be very introspective. And I think I like that for this song. It definitely brought me not necessarily happiness, not necessarily a sadness, but just kind of let me exist in the 14 minutes. And it was an interesting way to just get a little bit more perspective on yourself.
Yeah, and that's, I feel like what this music is really, so far, has set me up to do. It gets me in my thoughts. It is a background, it's background music for thinking to me, and remembering my life and dwelling on things. And I just want to bring your attention to the symbol of the pool real quick. The idea of a pool, and I think Breaking Bad really did a good job with this, is that it is this ideal form of suburban comfort. It's this idea that you can take this element of nature and have your own property that is owned by you, that reflects, you know, the it's a calm version of the chaos that engulfs like a majority of our planet, which is the ocean and water, right? And the thing with the pool is that while it is a symbol of status and comfort, it is also a representation of the fakeness of modern life. It is a representation of the falsehood that is the systems we like to live our lives around, you know, getting a house, getting property, get a job, all that stuff. These are all artificial, and ultimately, a lot of the times, people don't really use their pools, right? It just sits there, it accumulates dirt, it's hard to maintain. But it's one of the many perfect symbols, to me at least, of the element of modern life that is futile, in my opinion, in the grand scheme of things. And so the idea of having dreams by it is interesting, right? Being by the pool and thinking about your life. Just something to think about. Let's move on with these next two tracks. We're going to be doing tracks 4 and 5 together for the sake of time. And these next two tracks are titled Glittering Sun and Vodka in the Middle of the Night.
Thank you.
And those two tracks were titled Glittering Sun and Vodka in the Middle of the Night. So I think we're kind of in a different part of this narrative here, kind of having the fourth track is a more laid back and kind of, again, hitting us with a lot of those lush chords and those lush vocals and reverbs. And we're then kind of brought into Vodka in the Middle of the Night being this kind of party jam song, almost as if the things that I take it as the artist communicating, you know, like at this point in time that they were making this, you know, their daytime might have been an extreme slog to them, and it might have not been the most eventful thing that they were experiencing at the time, and really the only time they can get a sense of relief and fun going for them was at nighttime, when you know, we stereotypically tend to party, when we tend to hang out with friends, when we have that time for ourselves. You know, there's that culture in, I can't remember if it's Korean or Japanese, where so much of our time is committed to other people and our day jobs and, you know, and even our families and friends, that nighttime is really the time where it's for myself, which yeah. is why they really like to emphasize like the nightlife there with you know, karaoke bars, you know, eating out and just bars in general, and this be that party scene. And so that's kind of like the vibe I got from yeah. that. And overall though, I think it was a cool contrasting I guess two chapters that we were listening to in this record. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really enjoyed that, actually. I think number five is definitely the uplift in terms of energy yeah. in this album. So Jarrell, your thoughts?
As much as it can go, right? Yeah. Like, I think ultimately this is such a solitary, internal looking album. I mean, I think this is something that you listen to, I feel like, by yourself when you're alone and you are trying to sort yourself out. I mean, even the album cover is just one person standing on the side. I think this is an album that is so suited for those times in the summer that aren't about the stereotypical fun and partying kind of summer. You know, there is the gloom of summer that overtakes a lot of people that we don't like to think about, but it's there and it's as prevalent as any other gloom in any other time and place. And I think, yeah, the idea of Vodka in the Middle of the Night is a little sad, because it is something that people who undergo very painful lives and who want to cope with the issues of their lives resort to, right? Which is just drinking alcohol by themselves. And, you know, the element of alcohol, which is supposed to be this social thing that we partake in, to be doing that by yourself is obviously a whole different context and a whole different issue. And it's just a reality, but it's just a reality for a lot of people. And yeah, so, you know, this album once again just has you in your thoughts on just so many things. And yeah, it's a nice soundtrack for rumination, right? So we got two more tracks. This next one is titled Feel Good.
Thank you.
And that track is titled Feel Good. Definitely the sweetest sounding track of the album with that melody in the background. And I have to keep reminding myself that these are all original compositions. And it's so interesting to me that it's almost like the idea of it being original compositions is not even at the forefront. Like you sometimes forget, because he sticks to the aesthetic so hard that it is indistinguishable from something that isn't an original composition. And with this track, I think it is the tagline of the album, which we didn't read earlier, by the way, but the album is presented with these three phrases. And it says this: it's hot, I'm calm, I feel new. I think these three summarize the movement of this whole album, which it begins hot, it calms you with the middle portion of the album that is a lot more reflective, and we're getting to the moments where we are at renewal. And I think it's interesting to me that Desert Sand is using the imagery of sand and heat to bring the emotions of nostalgia and comfort and renewal and rebirth. And it's so different from what we normally see typically in vaporwave as water. It's almost like an interchangeable archetype depending on what it means to an individual. And I like the idea of Desert Sands becoming this emotional archetype for this particular artist, and summer being this memory renewal, and the heat representing the renewal of an individual rather than the typical baptism through water. In this case, it is through heat, it's through the desert, it's through the sun. And just a little interesting thing that I've noted, something to think about, I guess. But with this track in particular, I liked it a lot. It felt very happy, and it is approaching that point of renewal. And that's all I got to say about it. Brandon, your thoughts?
Not much other than, I mean, I guess you could also view sand as like, very similar characteristics to water, other than one being wet and one being dry, and the fact that sand does tend to fill crevices, it does fit in its containers, if you so to speak, and water retaining a lot of cold, and then sand does retain a lot of heat during the day. So it's just an interesting juxtaposition or contrast, excuse me, from the stuff that we've been doing on the show. I'm definitely getting more emotional release from this track, I feel. And again, this is only the second to last, so we have more to listen to yet, but I feel much more, I guess, grounded, I would say, to kind of shorten up what I would say in a long form. This record does bring me very emotionally very grounded, and I think you know, this is something that you could use as like a meditative tool to just kind of bring you down. And again, all being original music, it's actually quite impressive that they're able to kind of do this for the listener and for their audience. So, having a lot of fun with it.
Absolutely. So we are down to the final track, and this one is titled Until Next Year.
and that track was titled Until Next Year. Quite the melancholy wrap-up to this very, I would say, rather emotionally intense journey that we've kind of been through on this record. Very surprising, to say the least. When we kind of look overview the records for the first time, you know, obviously we'll carry in certain biases based off visuals, based off track names, you know, all the whole package. And then it's nice when we get a pleasant surprise at the end of it. And yeah, with that track in particular, Until Next Year, it definitely felt like almost like an attempt was made to change, right? For the artist to make a change in their life. And then, you know, it kind of ended up in not going out the way they planned, and, you know, or whatever character this is, they tried something and it didn't go as planned. And, you know, now we have to wait a longer period of time and kind of until next year, which is kind of how a lot of us do feel right now with the whole current pandemic situation.
It's
right?
So true. Yeah.
All of us are like, you know, just wait until next year, just wait until, you know, all of this stuff kind of blows over. And then all of a sudden we're now this record came out in June 7th, 2020, which was at the time we thought was in the height of the pandemic, where we thought it was at its worst. And, you know, we were just thinking about what's to come next year. And now listening to it almost a year later, still in the mud of everything, it does, I don't know, it's a strange feeling to kind of think about how, At least this is what the album does for me, right? Where we're kind of sitting with these emotions, being alone, being quarantined. And as Drill said something earlier, this is something that you would listen to by yourself. You get that time to reflect. And then after a certain period of time, you're like, okay, I think I've had enough of self-reflection. I think it's time to put myself back into the world and kind of back into, reinstall myself back into my normal routine. But, you know, the idea that we would have to wait until next year, and now being here almost a year later from this, when this record was released, is quite, not a bleak feeling, but I would say quite a strange feeling of, you know, we expected to be in such a different situation than we are now. And, yeah, it sits with me a little bit more intensely than I feel like if we listened to it when it first came out.
Yeah, a lot of thoughts, right? Like, this is just what this artist does. I think they just allow you to sit there and reflect deeply on what, not necessarily what they mean, but what these sounds make you think. And boy, do these sounds really make you reflect and think. And that one was one that personally made me think about, I guess, like along the lines of what you said about how we constantly like to push off and procrastinate with until next year or like until then. It is almost like, to me, when you put a promise of I'll see you next time, it puts this expectation that will disappoint you when you do lose someone, right? And to me, like you said, it is very melancholy because there are a lot of people who will say, I'll see you next time, and say, it's not goodbye, I'll see you later. Almost like a way to just convince themselves that they do not want to prepare themselves for the pain of not seeing them again, right? And to me, that is what this emoted, you know, that the idea of, you know, until next summer is like this happy idea, but ultimately it's futile in, you know, the nature of reality, which is that things can end at any moment. And I know that sounds really bleak, but I don't mean it in a bleak way. If anything, I mean it in a way that really should encourage you to accentuate the living moments that you have even more than you normally do. But that's what I got out of the album. We want to know what you guys got out of the album. So let us know on our Instagram at The Virtual Ocean and on TikTok at The Virtual Ocean. Me and Brandon had an amazing time listening to this and just reflecting and thinking about our lives. And it's a nice little break from those last 10 episodes, which were just like banger after banger, making us dance in the room and shit like that. So, Brandon is at Brandon Mattel on Instagram. I am at Jarrell.exe. You can follow us there. And yeah, I think this will be all. We enjoy this album. And any last words, Brandon?
No, thank you for the recommendation, a fellow listener on
Sarah,
Virtual Ocean.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for the recommendation.
Until then, we are heading back to our ship. We are going to get prepared for the next episode. But until then, this is the Virtual Ocean. Thank you for sailing with us, everybody. Good night. Goodbye.
Raise the davit. Get these folks on board.
How are we looking today, sir?
Skies are clear and the ocean vast. I think we should go where our hearts take us.